I'm going to have my guests introduce themselves. Peter, my good friend, haven't seen you in a while. Go ahead, start with you.
I'm Peter Samuelson. I'm the president of First Star, which is the national charity advocating for and educating foster kids.
Kids in college. I love it.
Kids going to college. It's high school-aged foster youth who are living on campus part of the year. We're in session at the moment, and they're back here every month, even when it isn't the summer. And they're getting a curriculum of academics and life skills and self-esteem.
So I was going to say, technically, I wasn't wrong because you are in session right now.
Yes.
You got kids on college campus right now.
We do.
I love that. UCLA?
We're at 12 universities in the United States, and these fine young people are from our academy at UCLA. And Edwin went all the way through the First Star Academy and is now at Chapman University. And so he is back as a youth coach, explaining everything to the younger people.
All right, Edwin, you can go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name is Edwin. I'm actually an alumni of First Star, as Peter's mentioned, of the UCLA Academy.
And how old are you?
I'm 20.
And what grade are you in school?
I'm just entering my second year at Chapman University.
And what do you study?
Strategic and corporate communication.
So you want to do what when you grow up?
Hopefully go into marketing, specifically in the fashion industry.
Oh, I love fashion. Okay.
Yes.
My kind of kid. We can talk off mic about that too. Okay, so Edwin, you were in foster care for how long?
I was in foster care for 4 years.
Okay, and then what happened with your situation? Are you back with birth family?
Yes, I'm living now with my older brother and his wife.
Fantastic of them to step up.
Yeah.
Okay, was your brother also in foster care?
My younger brother was, not my older brother.
Okay, yeah. So you know the foster care system well.
Yeah.
Okay, and now you're back as a coach?
I'm back as a youth coach, yes.
I love that. And you were a graduate of First Star?
Yeah, I graduated with Cohort 2 of the UCLA Academy.
I love that. So you're going to tell me all about the Academy, yes?
Yes, of course.
Okay. And my next guest is Robin. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Robin Winston. I am the Executive Director of First Star. And just ever so proud to be sitting here next to Edwin as a youth coach and not just a student, as well as our students here in the room. And just working really hard to bring this program across the country to as many students as we can.
Okay, so Peter being the co-founder, you are the director. How long have you been there?
I've been with First Star since 2011, actually just when the Academy started is when I joined First Star.
Because I'm thinking my connection with First Star, I think UCLA, but you branched out so much more since then.
Yeah, we've got campuses, University of Miami, we've got Loyola and Chicago, University of Utah, Arizona State University.
My alma mater. That's my school.
and countless others. I'm Cal State San Bernardino. Oh, goodness. A lot of them.
Well, I was so excited because my connection with Peter, again, was that I'm on the Board of Trustees at Arizona State. And we were meeting with the president of the university. And Dr. Crow says, First Star. And I said, wait. I'm in Arizona, back home. My First Star in California. I actually had to look it up to make sure we're talking about the same First. I thought your name had been kidnapped, Peter, but no, this is new.
Yes. It's the fastest that we went from hello to having an academy, and it's entirely because of the president, Dr. Crow, who is the most dynamic leader you could possibly have. It's also, ASU is a huge university.
Welcome, yes. But I think also, I think the credit goes to you and your program being a dynamic example that kids in foster care can go to college.
No, the credit belongs to the students.
True.
Because think of these statistics. So in the United States, there are 440,000 American children and youth who are in foster care. Less than 9% of them go to college. But First Star students, because of what we do, immersing them over 4 years of high school, academics, life skills, self-esteem and all the soft skills, which are really important. In the most recent 3 years, we have averaged 90% of our students have gone on to college.
Wow.
50% to a four-year to get a bachelor's, plus 40% to a two-year to get an associate's degree. And of course, some of them convert over later to get their bachelor's. So no kidding, and we keep repeating the statistic, because of the students' excellence, it's 10 times or 1,000% of the benchmark going to college. And of course, college right. changes your life.
Well, I am so glad we have reconnected, because I've had a chance to MC your event years ago, and kind of, you know, our lives go on and we lose touch or we move on. We're busy with doing other things. To reconnect with you all, because people who watch this podcast or listen might know I do the Wednesday's Child segment with kids in foster care to find adoptive homes. And I've always looked at organizations like First Star as another piece of the puzzle. So, Robin, what kind of difference do you feel like this organization, First Star, is making when it comes to foster care?
You know, I think the fact that we are a four-year program and that we stick with the youth throughout high school, we've got educational case management as well as our program that happens in the summer. And, you know, we set the goal that you're going to graduate high school. We don't just set the goal. We're with the students every step of the way, making sure they're taking the right courses and staying on track and not getting pushed aside to the classes that don't make them UC eligible, for instance. Okay. And I think the fact that we're there for them, whether they change placement, whether they get
Which
adopted.
Happens in foster care, right?
If you are a First Star scholar, you remain a First Star scholar.
Okay, so we're going to hear from some of the students who are in the program right now, and also the director of the First Star UCLA Academy in a second part of this podcast. So right now we're going to talk with Peter, Edwin, and Robin. So, Edwin, my question for you is, where were you? How did you first get involved? How did you hear about First Star?
So, I had actually just moved into my brother's house when I met my social worker, and she told me, like, there's this really cool program at UCLA that I want you to be a part of. And, like, at first, because a lot of these programs for foster youth, most of the time they are more of, like, programs that like to tokenize us or programs that don't really are able to serve us. So I was a little cautious coming in, of course, to BGSA. I was 15, I believe.
So freshman, sophomore kind
yeah,
of thing?
Yeah, I was a freshman. I was going into freshman year of high school. So then I came to our first meeting. I right away, like, once I met all the kids, once I met all the staff, just knowing that, like, them telling us, like, we're here for you for the next 4 years was a really big deal for me, because I think that I was going through a big change going from foster care into my brother's house, and I hadn't had much contact with my brother before then. So just also having that stability in the form of, like, the BJC Academy, which is the Brain Garden Scars Academy, First Arts Academy at UCLA, was very helpful.
So you're like, wait a minute, maybe I'll try this out.
Yeah.
Okay, but you latched on to it.
Yeah, after the first summer, I was like, I have to come back every single month.
Awesome. All right, Peter, so, you know, I know a bit of your story. A Hollywood producer working in foster care. How did that happen?
We started in 1999. Somebody gave me two documents, the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. So you read this thing, it's about 4 pages long. It says all children have the right to a name, and they shouldn't be slaves, and they should not have to join the army till they turn 18, and so forth. And you think, yeah, well, that all makes a whole lot of sense. And then you read in the back that there are 179 nations in the UN General Assembly, and all but two have ratified this convention. It has okay. the force of law. And the United States and Somalia are the only two that didn't ratify it. So I was just confused. I thought, I don't know any Americans who hate children. I believe in the American dream. I believe in, you know, the education system. So I was just curious, and so I started a year of research back in 1998, and I realized this is the last great civil rights struggle that never had day one, for the very simple reason that it's children. They cannot self-advocate. The whole thing is shrouded in secrecy. They don't vote. They don't have any money.
You're thinking children in general?
No, I'm talking about foster kids.
Okay.
How would things change when you have the people who are affected unable to say, hello, you know, I need to be treated better. I need help.
Okay, but I guess the disconnect for me is you're working in Hollywood, living in an entertainment lifestyle, and now this is your calling?
Well, I think so. And the common link is what you learn as a filmmaker is you learn that moving someone's heart is how you accomplish anything. You have to do it by telling stories. You have to be, you know, before books, some guy, you know, the storyteller came to the village and stood on a rock and said, gather around and I'll tell you a story. And if they were any good, people gave them coins. Filmmakers and anyone in media, we are generating empathy. We are encouraging our audience to stand in the shoes of somebody else to understand what their life is all about. And I felt vividly, once I started meeting foster kids, I vividly felt this is absurd. There's nothing the matter at all with these kids. Furthermore, it's almost 500,000 of them. What do you mean only less than 9% go to college, as opposed to nationally a benchmark for all American young people of 45%? They're not less intelligent. They've just had a rough time through no fault of their own.
I love that part, no fault of their own.
Yeah, and it's remediable. And the way to do it, the way you create the pivot and you disrupt a life that's been challenged is you use education. And how do you do that? Well, who do all young people want to emulate? Who do they want to copy? Who do they want to look at and say, oh, that's what I want to be? It's an older young person. What is a university? It's tens of thousands of older young people who are going places.
You're thinking young people would want to be there.
Yeah. All right.
So, Robin, you have these academies. What is an academy from First Star?
An academy from First Star is an opportunity to normalize the college-going experience for foster youth. Many of them have come from families where no one has gone to college. And so by placing them on a college campus, it really normalizes the idea. They see other people 2 and 3 years older than them succeeding and growing through the college experience. They get to live in the dorms. They get to eat dorm food. They get to be encouraged by people just like them who are a little bit older.
So, Edwin, anyone in your family had gone to college?
No, I'm the first in my family to
Congrats.
Go to college and the
I
first to graduate
it.
High school.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was your first introduction to a college?
First Star, actually. Like, once I didn't really did not think about college at all before high school. And then when I joined First Star, that's when I kind of started giving it a little bit more thought. Especially being on that college campus, you just kind of think, like, I want to be here.
They brought you to UCLA?
Yeah. Like, automatically, like, during that first summer, you just, like, leave with that feeling of, I want to be here. I want to be a part of this, like, type of, like, lifestyle.
So, Robin, how many kids do you have in academies in 2019 here?
2019, I think we've got about 450 students across the country. We've got cohorts of 30 students at each campus, and some of them we've got double cohorts. So we've got a pretty big group of students out there.
And Edwin, how long is the academy?
Our first summer was about 2 weeks, and then our second summer was about 4 weeks. And of course, we meet once a month throughout the entire academic school year.
Okay, so Peter, you have grown to the point where you can't probably physically watch each of these programs. What is your role now with First Star? What's your goal?
I have to go and beg people for the money.
to fund.
I'm actually a volunteer professional beggar on behalf. but you know, it sells itself. Because when you say, okay, what do we want as a country? Do we want indigence, unemployment, homelessness?
And we see that a lot with foster care.
Oh, well, how about $80 billion a year? $80 billion. About half of it, the direct cost of foster care, and the other half is the consequences of how horribly wrong it mostly goes. And it's not rocket science. There's nothing that we do. All we're really fundamentally doing is we're saying, okay, here's a young person. They need help. Where do we best immerse them in something really exciting that will give them the help? And the answer is, well, how about a high-achieving university or college? They can look up to these young people who are a little bit older than them, and it's completely transformative. And think of the generational effect. Their children's children's children, as soon as one person like Edwin in a family goes to college, I know in my own family, when I was in 10th grade, which is a few years ago, I had this English teacher, Mr. Lund, and he said, see me after school. Uh-oh, this is not good. So I saw him after school. He said, now listen, if you work about twice as hard, you could go to a really good university. And I laughed at him. I laughed in his face. And I said, Mr. Lund, no one in my entire family has ever been to college. And in fact, my dad left school at 14. So no, it's never going to happen. None of my relatives have ever been. And he said, oh, well, then it'll be even better, won't it? Because you'll be the first one. Before I went to college, no one in my family had ever been to college. Since I did that, every young person in my family, and Edwin will see the same thing, that because his relatives in the future will look at him and say, well, you know, he's one of us and he did it, and look at the life he has now.
Well, and I think too, Edwin, for every kid in foster care, you're an example of a kid like me, you can go to college. Yeah. So when you first stepped foot on UCLA, what were you thinking?
It's really big.
Yeah, right?
It's really big. There's a lot of people here.
And it's beautiful, too,
It's
right?
a very beautiful campus, yes.
Uh-huh. And what did you do in the academy? Was it a lot of work?
There is the academic portion because it is an academy. Therefore, there is the academic programs that we have. But for me, what I really latched onto was like the self-advocacy and empowerment as foster youth. Getting taught our rights, being taught how to like express what our rights were and what we needed to our caseworkers. I think that's what I really latched onto.
So Robin, paint a picture for me. The kids come each summer, you bring in a batch of kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is the purpose of the academy? What do you want them to walk away from?
We want them to walk away as stronger than they already are with a college going mindset. We are an academic program. We do seek to make sure that they can succeed on the SATs and the PSATs. We've got a very big module of that where we, you know, we teach to the test a little bit because that's what any middle-class family would do for their students, right? And so we want to take that responsibility. I mean, if you look at kids in care, there are collective responsibility. And the First Star Academy takes that to heart and really works through it.
So one goal is then just getting them through high school and high school degree.
Yeah, and with college readiness, ready to transition successfully to a four-year university, have the right prerequisites to get to the college level and succeed there, have the study skills, have the interpersonal skills. College can be scary if you've never been there, but we've made it normal.
So, Edwin, when you were in foster care in high school, did you bounce around other homes, or were you with your now stabilized with your brother?
Yeah, I was stabilized throughout high school.
So that probably helped.
Yeah, a lot.
And then First Star, paint a picture for me your whole 4 years of high school, your interaction with First Star. You had camp every summer?
Yeah, every single summer. Like I said, I really latched onto self-advocacy programs, and so that's like where I really like push forward every summer. I tried my best to participate in those kind of activities because I think it's really, I thought like if they're able to do this for me, like I should be able to pave the way for others to also experience this, but also for to create like this better environment for other foster youth as well.
And what about during the year? What kind of programs were you taking?
We would meet like once a month, so they'll come pick us up and stuff, like at our house, and then we all drive down to UCLA. We'd have, sometimes it'd be like academic programming, sometimes we have guest speakers, sometimes we'd watch like a documentary and like discuss about it. So it's all very like enriching. Into like our own lives, our own personal lives, but also our experience as foster youth.
Okay, so Peter, how did you first approach UCLA about this?
Well, it was actually quite funny. I asked for a meeting with the chancellor, Gene Block, and I think that they thought I was going to donate money because that's why I got the meeting. Okay. And I didn't donate money. What I said is, we would like to house, educate, and encourage high school-aged foster youth on your campus. Please say yes. And there was a sort of silence. And then Chancellor Block said, you haven't read my 10-year plan, have you? And I said, no, that's really dumb of me. I should have read the 10. Of course you have a 10-year plan. You're a chancellor. So he takes it out. He says, I'm only going to read you two sentences. So he runs his fingers down and he says, number three, UCLA, as a taxpayer-funded university, will strive to build affirmative pathways to post-secondary education for youth from families, none of whose other members have previously had that advantage.
Okay.
And he looks at me and he says, that would be check number one. And he runs his finger down. He says, number eight, UCLA will strive to be the most excellent academic neighbor to the surrounding communities of the county and the city, lifting up its neighbors' lives every which way using its prodigious academic and other skills. He says that would be the second check.
Okay.
And I came out of his office with a yes. He said, can we raise money for this? I said, I think it's one of the strongest, most empathic. How can we not do this? We need to pilot it and then measure it. And then if it works, we'll copy it and replicate it and go to other universities. But you'll always be able to say this was invented at UCLA.
I love that. So, Robin, you have kids staying overnight in the dorm setting on the UCLA campus and the other campuses now across the country?
Yes, we do. At first, it becomes a little challenging because they're teenagers with a little bit of freedom on a college campus. It's pretty exciting. But we take a lot of care to make sure everyone's safe. We've got, what is the ratio staff to students? I think it's like
3 to 1.
And so everybody's safe and well taken care of. And just the energy and excitement during the summer session is really, really cool.
Edwin, let me ask you, when you're on the UCLA campus, what struck you about being in that setting that you thought this could be really fun after high school?
I think just speaking to my youth coaches, because almost all the youth coaches are also college students at UCLA. So just getting to know like what are they doing in school, what their majors are, what are their plans after college. That's what really excited me. But then also getting to learn like what my peers wanted to do and being able to like think about how would they also manifest those things in the future.
What would you say that you had to do differently that maybe other kids didn't have to do? I mean, how did you apply yourself to really stick with this program?
I think going to the education system itself is already very hard. Applying to college is also very hard. But on top of that, being first generation high school graduate and a college student, on top of that, also having gone through foster care and all the trauma that entails, you have to focus, I think, a lot more. You have to work a lot harder to do well in school because you also have to deal with all these other things that are going on in your life at the same time.
Yeah, Peter, I think that, you know, it's always been alarming to me that the number of kids from foster care going to college and graduating has been so low. And I think for myself, both my parents went to college, so I had that advantage. Both were teachers. But I remember a high school counselor who kept pushing me forward. She would get me a scholarship here or introduce me to this thing, concept here. And it really kind of kept opening the doors for me to go to college. But for foster care, we think of the kids, they bounce around often from home to home to home to home without that stability. When did you first see that this was taking hold, that First Star was going to be able to make a difference?
It was the most personally rewarding thing. I would say that first summer at UCLA.
First summer?
Yeah, oh yes. I would say we were maybe 2 weeks in, and we started saying, you know, something very miraculous is going on here. There's nothing at all the matter with these kids. They're thriving. Look at this. All the grades are coming up. What, he got an A? He never had an A. He never even had a B before, that kind of thing. And also the behavioral stuff. I remember we had this one student, Kenny, and we were warned by the Department of Children and Family Services. I remember them saying, you know, he's a stubborn so-and-so. Mm-hmm. You know, be careful. You sure you want him in your academy? And we said, yeah, we think he's really, you know, he's got something sparky about him. He's the one we want. And I remember saying, where is Kenny? Why is he not down here at dinner with us? And I remember one of the youth coaches saying, oh, he won't come down until he finishes his homework because he's really stubborn.
Beautiful.
And I thought, okay, all right, stubborn went to a good place.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, I think what we see is that all human beings need a few things to thrive. The first thing is unconditional love. And it's not a soft skill. It's a very real thing. You need to know these are the grown-ups who are not going away. You're stuck with us. You're in this thing with us for 4 years, and then you're an alumnus, and we're always there. You couldn't get away. We're the chewing gum on your shoe. You can't get rid of it. So there's a permanency. There's a longitudinal consistency to it of grown-ups. That's one thing. Second thing is family. Everyone needs family. What is so meaningful in First Star is the bit that we, the grown-ups, we're just the enablers. But what our young people do, what our students do, is they make themselves into a family. They love each other. Mm-hmm. We had a fantastic talent show. And when it was this one student's turn to go down and sing her song in big old lecture theater, up came the playback music. She couldn't do it. She was just terrified. could not get a note out, a lot of strangers sitting in the audience.
Sure.
And it was embarrassing and it was awkward. And I could kind of feel someone's going to go down there now and take her off and it's humiliating. This is bad. And then a most miraculous thing happened. Another student in her year, big guy, sort of like a linebacker kind of a shape guy, almost, I would say, 6 foot tall. He went down there on the stage and he stood between her and the audience with his back to the audience. You couldn't see her anymore. Mm-hmm. And some whispering. And the next thing, there's two girls go down from the same class. So now there's the four of them there. And then there's 12. And then there's 20. And then there's all 30.
Wow. In this.
And there's whispering. And then one of the kids on the outside, you know, does the upward hand movement, you know, play the music, up comes the music. And out of the middle of this little scrum of humanity comes this little voice.
Oh.
And she sang her song and it got stronger and stronger. At the end of the song, she got all the way to the end and was really belting it out by the end. The audience went nuts. And they all came down off the stage with their arms around each other. And I thought, we didn't do this. We just created an environment for it to happen. But it's the young people who did this. All humans need to bond, be mutually supportive, have someone to love and someone to be loved by. And these kids have done nothing wrong. They've just had a bad bit of luck.
Yeah.
And what we've done is to enable them to find family where there wasn't previously family.
Tell me, Edwin, your thought on that, friendships and family through First Star.
No, yeah, definitely after our first summer, we bonded a lot. I remember it's just so great to have that family you could come back to outside of like high school, outside of your biological family that understands very well and very deeply like the experience that you've gone through. I remember our last summer, it was our very last night. In our very last summer, I was walking by like the dorm lounge, and there's like three of like my peers just like in the lounge, listening to music. And then I went in there and listened to music with them, and more of us kept on coming out throughout the night. Like I remember the youth coaches were outside, they just let us stay up past bedtime, and by the end it was like the entire cohort in there, and we're all just like holding each other, just crying because like we're all leaving. And it's just like it's just so emotional.
Did you know anybody going into First Star?
I actually knew no one going in.
No one.
Yeah.
So you show up on this college campus. Taking a chance. Yeah. And Robin, it's boys and girls?
Yeah, it is co-ed. And they live in separate hallways, separated by youth coaches. Mm-hmm. But we have a saying in First Star, there is no purple, meaning you guys are siblings. We don't want you to mix red and blue and become purple. They're siblings. There's not a lot of romantic energy between them because they have built a family, which is really nice.
Yeah, sibling energy.
Yeah,
which is a very powerful kind of love.
I gotta ask you a question though. Do you ever have conflict or situations where it's not working for a student? I mean, these are kids who've been through traumatizing times, being in foster care. Do you ever have that some growth? Emotionally,
they're teenagers. Teenagers have been known to have a little bit of drama from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
These are teenagers just like any other teenagers. We did some, you know, we always try and measure ourselves and see how are we doing. I remember we did a survey of attitudes a few months ago, and I loved in the, do you have any other comments? They all wrote, you know, specific things about the experience of being in First Star. It was all terrific. And one of them, I didn't even know which student because it was anonymized, one of them wrote, everything that these people sitting next to me are writing is true, but please remember one other thing, which is that we're just teenagers.
Mm-hmm. So true. So true. Robin, how does one who's in foster care get involved with First Star?
We work very closely with DCFS. We look for recommendations from social workers and teachers. And we make sure that the student is somebody who has a college-going mindset. But DCFS does recommend students to us, and we have an interview process in order for them to get into the program.
And it's always freshmen coming in?
Yes, we start with ninth graders and stick with them all 4 years of high school.
Okay, and if they choose to not stick with First Star, that happens from time to time?
It does, not that often. We follow you through change of placements. If you've got summer school or sports, we try to make accommodations for that. Mm-hmm. We have one young man who was on the marching band, and their summer included a big tour, which conflicted with the summer sessions. But he stayed with the program, and he came back in the fall and graduated with our students. We want you to be part of our family. We'll make it.
How many kids would you say?
Pardon me?
How many kids do you think you work with?
Per campus, it's about 30, but across the country, about 450.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have more kids applying than you have space?
We do. And so we keep a wait list. If we do not have a full cohort, we'll see if there's a candidate out there that will fit with the group. There generally is. We want to open this opportunity to as many as we can.
So, Edwin, fair to say a privilege to be part of it?
A privilege, yes.
Yes. What do you foresee as your long-term plan with First Star?
So now coming back as a youth coach, it's very interesting to kind of see like both sides of the academy. I'm definitely going to come back every summer now. It's only been 3 days with the new cohort, the little ones, but already I'm just like, I love them so much. Like, I just want to be with them all the time. Mm-hmm. So definitely I'm going to be a youth coach for a while, and I plan to keep on advocating for foster youth and like, our community and the things that we need.
Is there a message you'd want to send to kids in foster care about college, whether they're with First Star or not?
Yeah, it's like, you can do it. Like, anyone can. You can do, like, it just takes a lot of determination. Find that support group that you need. Find that support network. Build your family if you don't have one. Build your own.
Mm-hmm. So, Peter, you've been a Hollywood producer for a long time. How do you fit in First Star with that other side of you?
You just work hard and long hours. I got back at 2 o'clock this morning from West Virginia, where we are just launching a new academy at Marshall University. And they don't have nonstop flights from West Virginia. Apparently, there is no one who wants to go from West Virginia to Los Angeles or
makes
vice
for a
versa.
Longer trip, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yes. And both flights were delayed and so on and so forth. I think you just get on and you do it. And also, the inspiration is the kids. It's our students. Yeah. Think of this. They have to get up, a lot of them, because Los Angeles is so vast, they have to get up out of bed, 6 o'clock in the morning, 5:30 in the morning on a Saturday when they could just lie in and go to the mall or something. And they get picked up by a van to go and do, Algebra 2 at UCLA.
It's a commitment.
It is absolutely a commitment.
Yeah.
And in the summer, they could just, vegetate or just do sports or whatever. And there they are doing, the whole morning is academic. And then the life skills and the fun is the afternoon and the evening.
Says a lot about the kids that take part.
It totally does.
Yeah.
We do not take, we don't deliberately take the cream. What university professionals call it is additionality. We're fundamentally asking ourselves, if we help this young person, will they probably be able to go to college? Yes, is the answer we want. Mm-hmm. And if we don't help them, is it extremely unlikely that they will go to college? We want two yeses. And the other thing we should mention is there's an essay that they write as part of the application process. And it was our first director, Wally Kapler, he invented this. The prompt, the question is, please imagine that it is your 100th birthday party and your best friend who's known you your whole life makes a toast. What would you like them to be able to say?
Very nice.
And you just see that we don't really look at grades. If you've lived in 14 placements and been to, 9 middle schools.
Tough to keep the grades up sometimes.
How would you have any grades?
Sure.
It's a miracle you can write your name in the corner of the paper. So we don't really look at the grades. We look for any spark of any kind of ambition, even a little anger. Why do I have to be the one that's in foster care? I want to be a scientist. I want to be a musician. I've always been interested in architecture. I'll never be able to do. Oh, yes, you will. Because guess what? We have a school of architecture right here on the campus. Would you like to visit? Oh, you're interested in nanotechnology. Do you know what an electron microscope is? We got one of them, too. Come and look through it.
So, Robin, let me ask you this. You have a big development here in the state of California.
Oh, we absolutely
do. The governor. Go ahead. Tell us about that.
We have just been the happy recipients of some earmarked funds to launch a new academy at Sac State. Governor Newsom and his administration, we had the chance to meet with him and present our bold idea of bringing the academy to all CSUs and UC system where there's a need. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, let's pilot at Sac State. And so they gave us 4 years of funding to show what we can do. And we are gosh, we want to bring this expanding as quickly
expanding
as we can.
Even more.
That'll be the beachhead in Northern California.
Yeah.
Because obviously we've got Cal State San Bernardino thriving and UCLA thriving. So that'll give us one up north. And then the goal is, while Gavin Newsom is the governor, that four-year period, we're going to bring it up to 12 academies in California.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to bring this segment to a bit of a close because we have another segment with two of your students who are currently in the program and the director of your UCLA program. Edwin, let me ask you, what do you want to be? What do you want to do? Where do you see yourself with your career?
So as I said, I want to go into marketing within the fashion industry. So I want to work in fashion journalism, hopefully Vogue. But eventually, I do want to be an artistic director of my own brand. And if God allows it, I want to be a couture designer at one point as well.
Well, you know what? It's just a coincidence you're on this chat because for some reason this year I got into fashion. And we have a young man who was on our Wednesday's Child segment who he found me on Instagram. You know, I met him when he was maybe 10 years old, found me on Instagram, started following me. Then he texted me, can I be invited to some stuff, basically? So I said, well, I had a designer call me and said, would I MC his event? Sure, I'll help him out. Why don't you come be my assistant? So he came, and I hadn't realized this kid was tall and thin. I said, well, you could probably model. So since we got him into modeling, we've taken him to New York Fashion Week twice. He's done LA Fashion Week, Phoenix, Orange County. But we've had him in all these different fashion shows, and this is a kid from foster care, and you know, we're looking for these voices to be success stories. So we celebrate you as an aspiring designer, a future designer, and I'll have to follow you on Instagram so we can keep a watch on one another. Sound good?
Yes.
So great to meet you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Tell me
what your brother thinks of you being in college.
My brother loves it. He's very proud of me. My whole family is very proud of me. And I have a little brother who I went through a foster care system with as well.
Yes.
So it's just great that he's also able to see what I'm doing as well.
And how old is he?
He's 15.
Okay. So he's about the age you went into First Star.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, very good. All right, Peter. So First Star, the legacy of First Star is what?
The legacy of First Star is that we're going to pivot young people's lives away from abuse and neglect. We say to our students, you're not a victim. You're a survivor. It's a whole different, you know, idea. You are actually the author of the story of the rest of your life. You can be whatever you want to be. Think of it this way. It's one of those big aluminum ladders. And if you start falling off, we'll put you back on. But in the end, only you can move your feet and climb up the ladder. When you get to the top, guess what? There's another ladder,
yeah.
And that's the university ladder. And then after that, there's a career ladder. Down the side of the ladder, it says, First Star Academy, please return. What do you think that means? And they say, well, bring the ladder back. No, doesn't mean that. What it means is you do what Edwin is now doing, which is you get to the top of the ladder. You don't turn away from it. You come back and you reach down and you pull the younger students up behind you because you uniquely know how to do that.
Yeah. Well, I love it. I'm so glad to reconnect with First Star. We're going to do a part two and hear more about the program. I wanted all kids in foster care to feel this hope and this inspiration and know that there are groups out there like you fighting for them. Thank you all for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much. And by the way, the URL is firststar, firststar.org, firststar.org.
Fantastic. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you.